tell you something. That song is so inspired for what I want to speak on today. We fought the good fight, run the race. That's what we're doing, and we're so close to the end, friends. There's just no way it can't be, and it's just exciting. Any day, any time, you know, we know the coming of the Lord could happen just any day, and that's our focus, watching for that, and Satan wants to get us focused on everything else around us, but the coming of the Lord is a reality that we are just, who knows, we step one day into it. It's just right here. It's got to be here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that we can be here this morning. Father, I'm thankful that everyone could come out and we're here, Lord Jesus. I pray that, Father, you would have something for each individual person, that when we leave today, they know that they heard from you, Father, not just me up here, not just a man speaking, but that Jesus Christ himself spoke to each one of us, Lord, and strengthened us and encouraged us to keep pressing on and revealed more of himself to us that we could see who we are, Lord. Recognizing our day in this message, Lord Jesus. Won't you just take this word, help me, Father, just to completely get out of the way. Take your word, Lord, and make it a reality to each one of us, Lord. Meet our needs, heal us, Lord Jesus. Some are physically sick, Lord. Any kind of issues we have, anything we have mentally or spiritually, whatever it needs, Lord, just meet our needs, Lord, according to your word. We ask this in your name. Amen. We want to read out of Hebrews 11 to start with. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. This morning, I want to speak on the thought of Enoch's walk, how he pleased God. We know Enoch was a type of the bride going before the tribulation. Noah went through the tribulation in the ark. Enoch left before the tribulation. And so we can see here, brother and sister, that we must have the same kind of testimony that Enoch had. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. If we're going to go in a rapture, we have to have the testimony that we please God. And so the question is, how do we go about pleasing God? Because there's a million people out there, a million different ways telling you how to please God. And Satan will give you 1,000 ways how to do it, and religious people give you 1,000 ways how to please God. But we need to know how we can please God as an individual, because otherwise there is no rapture for us. We have to do it. And so it's really simple, because the next verse, 11:6, he tells us exactly how to do it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So right away we see that faith is the only way to please God. And so right away it does away with all our works, all our religion, all our thoughts, all our doctrines, and everything we try to do to live a good, holy life. None of that pleases God unless it's done in faith. And faith is not something that we come up with. You don't have faith. God gives you faith. It's revealed to you. We have mental faith. We have hope, these things. But faith itself, the real faith, is God reveals it to you. Faith is a revelation. And so it's just basically as simple as God tells you what to do. Don't get any more complicated than that. God tells you what to do to please him. He reveals it to you. Let's go back. Go back to verse 4 in that same chapter there. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So we can see, brother and sister, that Abel knew what kind of sacrifice to give because it was revealed to him. And so by faith he went and took that lamb, he killed it, there was blood on the altar, and that's how he pleased God. Abel didn't just come up with that on his own. He didn't just think, let me see, Cain's over there offering fruit and vegetables. Let me offer a lamb. Let me try that. Let's see what that is. There is no maybe when it comes to serving God. There's no maybe about when it comes to try to please God. So many times, you know, things don't seem to be going right. Well, maybe I should try this. Well, maybe I should try that. No, you shouldn't. You don't go by a maybe. You wait until God gives you a clear-cut decision, then you know what to do. This is why you go to church where you go to. This is why you pray. This is why you believe the things you do, because God revealed to you what it is he wants you to do to please him. So many times, well, maybe I get healed if I had this person pray for me. Maybe if I go to a different church. Maybe if I put more money in the offering. Maybe if I try to pray more. I'm going to pray 30 more minutes a night before. Brother and sister, you're just going on maybes, and maybes is not what pleases God, because Satan can get into your maybe and cause you to do all kinds of crazy stuff that God does not want you to do. So you sit there and you wait till God tells you what to do. You should be here this morning because you know God put you here. He specifically told you, this is where I want you to go to church. Brother Jerry's your pastor. I work at the job God gave me. I have the kids God gave me. I'm the parent the way God told me to do. All these things that we do is our walk with God, and this is how we please God. Why are you not doing something different? Because God didn't tell you to do something different. You are currently walking in faith, and that's all God wants you to do to please him. I get up in the morning, I go to work, I come home, I do whatever I do. You know why I don't do something else? Because God didn't tell me to do something else. After service Thursday night, you know, Brother Jerry spoke a lot about overseas and missions and all that. It was really good. And I said, Brother Jerry, man, it makes me want to go overseas again. It does. Just fires you up. And then I was thinking about it yesterday. But you know what happened? You know what? God has not told me to go overseas anymore. When he tells me to, I'll go. Otherwise, I'm just doing it on my own. And I've had this conversation with him frequently because I go on trips. I go backpacking in, you know, different places. And I thought, God, I could spend this time going overseas, going to missions or something. I would love to do that. And God never tells me to. So for me to go up and do that, that's just me doing something on my own, trying to do God a service. But until he tells me to go, it's going to be a waste of time. Remember Brother Branham, when God told him to go over there, he was in Africa, and he was supposed to do certain meetings and go hunting and all this, and the ministers there, they got, no, we had this all set up. And he said, no, I'm not supposed to do that. And they had that difficulty deciding what to do. And finally, Brother Branham gave in, and he did what the ministers wanted him to do. God said, go ahead, but it's going to cost you. Why? Because God had a perfect will, but they didn't want to walk in God's perfect will. They would not listen to the prophet, and so God, Brother Branham went along for it and almost killed him. You can get yourself in trouble trying to do something, trying to go on a maybe. There is no maybes. You do what God tells you to do, or you sit quietly. Look at Cain. Why did Cain go do what he did? Why did he offer the wrong sacrifice? Because he just went on presuming. Well, I assume God's a God of beauty. He worships in beauty because his daddy was all about beauty. And so he thought God would accept something that's beautiful. Cain did not have to give that sacrifice if he would have just waited, because what would have happened, God would not have spoke to Cain like that, but he would have seen Abel come along and Abel sacrifice, and God accept his as sacrifice, and then he would have said, oh, that's what pleases God. And he could have gave the same sacrifice, but he would not do it. He had to get ahead of God and go ahead and do what he thought God wanted him to do to please God. Sometimes you just got to sit still and wait until God tells you exactly what to do. But then when he does tell you what to do, you need to go ahead and do it. And then his will humbles us, because we don't, a lot of times don't like his will, because it takes humility. Cain didn't want to give Abel sacrifice because it was too humble. Look how beautiful my church is. Look at the nice church I go to. And then you want me to go to a church like that? There's no way I'm going to do that. There's no way I can humble myself to do that. It's not going to happen. Jesus said this in John 8:28. Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Brother and sister, we must have that same testimony. You recognize so many things that Jesus said in the red letters in the Bible, you and I must have the same testimony. If Jesus Christ is the same today as he was back then he does the same thing. We must have that same testimony. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. It was revealed to Jesus what he should do and what he should say. That is what we must do. We must. That's the only way we please God. And he had sent, and he, Jesus keeps going, he said, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. We can say amen to that. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Why does he not leave us alone? Because we do those things that please him. When we don't, we grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit kind of goes away for a little bit because he can't dwell in that atmosphere we created with whatever we did we're not supposed to do. But when we repent, he comes right back because we always do those things that please him. Can you agree that we always do those things that please him? Well, I make mistakes. That's not what we're talking about. Of course you make mistakes, but we always do those things that please him because when you make a mistake, you repent, he comes back and he's with you because you always do those things that please him. Otherwise, he's not with us. There's your testimony. And just to be get ahead of myself a little bit, that testimony Enoch had was not Enoch's testimony. The testimony Abel had was not Abel's testimony. It was God testifying that Abel has the right sacrifice, and he came down and accepted that. It was God testifying that Enoch had the right walk, and he pleased him because he took him right off the earth. And I can say all I want, well, I please God, but that's not going to be enough. God must witness to you that you please him. It's God that we're looking for the witness. Jesus said, I have a greater witness than John. Yeah, because you know what? John witnessed, that's him, that's the Lamb of God. And then later on, John went and backslid on his own testimony and said, well, I don't know if it's him or not. We cannot go by a person's testimony. Let me just be blunt. You cannot go on testimony from Brother Branham. You cannot go on a testimony from your mom, your dad, your pastor, anybody else. You must have the testimony of God in your own life that you are pleasing God. And you can look at it and say, God has proven who I am. Because if I say, well, my dad thinks I'm ready to go, so that's going to take that testimony. That's not going to put you in a rapture. It must be God testifying who you are. That's what we have to have. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. These were the believers. If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the only way we please God is if we continue. We can see how many people over the years have tried to be a believer, and they start walking with God, they try to be a Christian, but then they fade away, and they're gone, and they just walk out or whatever, because they did not continue in his word, and that's the only way we please him. He wants to set us free. That's why he went to Calvary. That's why he was beaten. That's why he went through all that he suffered to set us free. But if we do not continue in the word, he cannot do that. Then you are not his disciples. You're just a make-believer, an unbeliever. You're just a halfway Christian. But if you continue in my word, and that doesn't mean you just sit back in the pew and say, okay, I got it figured out. Now I'm here ready for the rapture. Brother and sister, every day is you're pressing that battle. You say, but my life, it just seems kind of unspiritual. I'm just going through the things I do. I get up, I work, I take care of my kids, I do all that. That's your spiritual walk. That is what God is using to prepare you for the rapture. What great things are you looking for? Oh, my, I'm not talking about me being mistake-free, but the Holy Spirit in us witnesses who we are. Philippians 3:2, it said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. What's he talking about being aware of? He's not talking about being aware of the people out in the world and all that. We know about that. But what he's talking about is be aware of those religious people who would try to put you under their legalistic thumb. And, well, you got to believe it this way. Well, you got to see it this way. Well, it's got to be this. It's got to be that. He said, beware of that, because what they're doing is they're trying to exalt the flesh. Look at me. They're trying to get this kind of, to show how spiritual I am, and look at the great faith I have, and look at these things, look the way I can preach, look at and exalting the self. And he says, for we are the circumcision, which means we got that stuff cut off, which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. So quit worrying about the flesh. Well, I have a problem with this. I have a problem with that. You just keep your walk. You just keep pleasing God, and you will walk right out of that thing you're having a problem with. Brother and sister, these addictions and all these kind of things we have that are escapes from trying to get out of the trials we go through and all these entertainments. Brother and sister, you just keep falling in love with God, and those things will just fade away. They will get out of your life, and it might come just like that, or it might come slowly, but it's going to go away. You do not have to to sit there and worry about if you're going to overcome or not. You are guaranteed to overcome. You already are overcoming. It's happening right around you. You say, but this thing bothers me. That thing's bothering me. Brother and sister, all it is we just need a little bit more Gethsemane. We just need a little more cutting away. He's shaving this off. He's shaving that off. And you just keep walking the way you're walking. And one day you will just walk right out of here because it's been prophesied that you will. That's the word that we're here for. You just keep walking in the word. You just keep pressing forward. And you just keep yielding to do what God tells you to do. And you're going to get out of here one day. But if you go and try to do something different, well, maybe if I try to do it this way, well, maybe if I set my mind this way, well, maybe if I think about it this way, you're not going anywhere. You are backsliding. When you add your own thought to it, that's backsliding. You're mixing the word with your own ideas. Quit mixing the word and just take what God says and keep walking forward. Jesus talking to the woman at the well, he said, "You worship you know not what." We know what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. They were trying to worship. They were trying to please God, but they didn't even know who he was. They didn't know what they were worshiping because they had a mixed idea. They had a mixed doctrine, a mixed religion that they were doing. They did not have the word that for their day that they needed to have. He said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so what Satan wants to do is get us either worshiping according to the mechanics, according to the dynamics, but he does not want to get them together. So many times people focus just on the doctrine. You got to believe this. You got to believe this. You got to believe this. And then other people on the other side, no, it's all about the worship, and it's the praise, and it's the signs and wonders, and it's the miracles. You got to have both, but neither one of those are the major until you put them together. And you focus on one, and it's just a minor. You focus on that one, it's just a minor. You got to get them together, and that's Jesus Christ the same today as he ever was. And without that, you are not worshiping God correctly. You're worshiping something you don't even know what you're doing. Some people, they just want to sit around and say, well, as long as I believe, I'm fine. I'm going to sit here in the pew and just sit here and someone preach me happy or someone sing me happy or whatever. And your brother, sister, that ain't doing it. You got to worship in spirit. I'm going to come apart here. You got to worship in spirit. And if we just sit there and just don't, that doesn't mean you have to jump and shout, but you got to get in the spirit. You have to get in the spirit. Otherwise, you're not worshiping and you're not being accepted. And other people think, well, I don't really care what you preach. I just want to go to church and just shout and jump and run. And you see this around so many times in the message. And that 1906 Pentecostalism is trying to take over because Satan's trying to get us focused on just the dynamic part of it. And we got signs and wonders. And look at all the miracles going on. And we got all this. And that's wonderful. But you can be a false anointed one and produce the same thing. But when you get the word of God for your day, and it's mixed, and it's the Holy Spirit, the genuine thing, and it comes together, and it lights something off, and like Brother Branham said, you have that car, and it's sitting there, and it's in perfect shape, but it will not go anywhere until it gets the spark, and we need to get the spark onto this word and produce a living Jesus Christ in our midst. Otherwise, we're just a dead message church. It's the only way to please God. To worship in spirit and in truth. The only way we can please him. They came to Jesus. They said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They were saying, with their mouth, they say, you know, we want to please you. We want to work God. We see that you're a man sent from God. You tell us how we can please God. He gave them an answer they did not want to hear. They wanted to keep their laws. They wanted to say, well, keep the law, do what Moses said and all that, because that was their religion. That was their comfort zone. They made them feel holy and made them feel religious to be able to keep the law. But Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. It's that simple. God has sent us a ministry. God sent Jesus Christ. He has sent ministries all the way down through. He said, you want to please God? You want to do the works of God? You accept what I have sent you to tell you the truth. You don't get to choose who you listen to. You don't get to choose the ministry you listen to. God sends a ministry, and you are responsible for that ministry that God sends to you, that you hear it, and you believe what is being said to you. You don't get to choose these things. It's just, and it makes it so simple. Anybody can do that. You don't have, well, when I live good enough, well, I could keep the law enough, when I do this, no, it isn't. You just believe whom he has sent. You believe the ministry God sends you. And if you do, then God is obligated to send the word through that ministry to produce what you need in your life. It's God doing the work. I remember Jerry Bell. Jerry Bell was not born again. I didn't know it at the time. I wasn't either. But I remember going to him and certain things, and I know God spoke through that office. It was not the man at all, but it was the office, and God was obligated because I was coming to him with a pure, my heart was right, my motive was right to do this, and I went to him, and God spoke through that, and he kept me in church, and he kept me going until God could send me the right person that I could get born again. But brother and sister, that was the office. God's obligated. If you approach that, you don't have to like the man. You don't have to like me. You don't have to like Brother Jerry. You must respect the office that God put him in to lead you to a rapture. It's not about the man at all. But what does Satan do? He points at our weaknesses. He points at this. Phil, you've done this and you've done that and you this way. Brother and sister, ain't nobody dislikes my personality more than me. All right? I understand that. It has nothing to do with it. I've been called to something. You've been called to something. We've all been called to something. And God just wants us to get together, and we need to press that battle and keep walking. And we have that testimony. I have fought the good faith. How did you fight it? You got up in the morning. You did what God wanted you to do. You go to bed, and tomorrow you do the same thing. That's what we're called to do. Don't go try to make yourself spiritual. They couldn't understand. How can it be that simple? They've been taught to keep the word, to follow these rules. They've been taught, just like the message believers, well, you got to do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. And that's what they think is going to please God. He said, that's not what pleases me. What pleases me is when I speak the word, you believe it. And here's the thing, if you do believe it, you will do it. If you believe what the word says, you will act on that and you will do what he says. That's the rules you keep. But what does Satan try to do? He tries to push us when he can't get us to go out into the world and just live like the world. He tries to get us to be religious. Let me read a couple of quotes here. There is no happiness or contentment outside of Jesus Christ. I've seen them so rich till they had bodyguards. I've seen them so poor till they begged for a drink of whiskey. And from one to the other, there's no satisfaction in sin. Excuse me. Then what do they call that life? How could you call it life when you went to take it? It's not life. No, if the devil can't get you to do something like that, go into the world. Serve the world. He's done something else. He will get you to be a gentleman. He says he will let you be a gentleman. And you'll pay your honest debts. You'll treat your neighbor right. You'll even join church and think you got life. But that still is death. Satan don't mind you going to church and being religious. In fact, he'll try to influence you to be ultra religious. Well, do something a little bit more. Do something a little more. Show the people, I mean, after all, look at what you offer to this church. Look what you have to give. Look at your talents. Look at your gifts. Look at your money. Look how you can be a big shot in that little church. Another place he says, there is a place in the heart that's thirsting for something. God created them to thirst, but to thirst after him. They try to hush that blessed holy thirst with the things of the world. You're perverting the very thing that God gave the people to thirst for him. You are trying to satisfy it with the things of the world. It will not work. It never will work. And then if the devil can't get you to do that, to try and use the world to satisfy that thirst, he gets you to just get to put your name on a church book and call yourself a Christian. He tries to satisfy it with that, but there is no satisfaction until God himself comes into the heart to control and to satisfy the people and bless them and give them the things that he created in their heart. Brother and sister, Satan will try to get us to do all kinds of religious stuff to find that satisfaction because you look at our lives sometimes and think, well, there's really really nothing going on. I just don't feel like I'm pleasing God. I don't feel ultra spiritual. I don't feel, you know, I'm just kind of going through life. Do you realize the pressure you undergoing every day? And we don't even think about it because it's normal for us. But if you took someone from the dark ages where they were hunting him down, they're burning him, they're feeding him to lions, think of that life that they're going through. If you took that person and dropped them down into this age, they'd crumble like an eggshell. They couldn't handle the pressure. Well, what pressure? That is greater pressure. No, it's not. We are going through the greatest pressure ever, and it's the pressure of soft living. It's the soft living. Friends, you and I could go for a whole week and never pray one time and never worry about if we're going to have something to eat, if we have a place to live. Nothing to worry about. If we were like that, let's say you had, you know, going to church this morning, there's a good chance you're going to get stoned. There's going to be a chance someone's going to beat you at the club. There's going to be people out there taking pictures of you, putting it on Facebook. Look at these freaks. Look at these horrible people believe, these cult people. What if you knew that going from here to your car, you could get shot? You'd have a different attitude sitting here this morning. That's the kind of pressure that gets us close to God. This soft Laodicean pressure gets us away from him, the soft living. And we go through it every day, and we don't even hardly think about it because it's just our normal. You don't need to pray. Brother Jerry's going to pray. You don't need to worry about the service. Brother Jerry's going to preach it. Brother Phil's going to preach it. You don't need to worry about the song service. Brother Nate's going to get up and sing. I don't have to sing. I can just sit and listen. Friends, if we would get real about what we're going through, it would change our attitude. Let someone else worship for me. Let someone else pray for me. Let someone else preach. Let someone else do this. I'm not telling you how to preach, but you need a pull. Why would you let someone else get your blessing, your relationship with Jesus Christ? Why would you allow someone else to have that walk with Christ that you don't have just because you don't have to? I think he's worthy to be praised, no matter how I'm feeling. The other morning, I said to my wife, he said, I'm already 50, honey. If I don't do anything for the Lord, I got to hurry. If I do anything for the Lord, I've got to hurry. She said, Bill, God trained Moses 80 years and said he can train you for another 50 years to get one day's service from you. He's got a purpose for you, so just stand still. That was a prophet's wife. He said, I thought that's a lot of wisdom. Stand still. God moves every hand just according to his great plan. Just be still. Don't try to push. You get ahead of him then. It's a whole lot better to try to follow than it is to lead because he's the leader. Just stand still. Just let him move you. It's time to go, brother and sister. It's not us trying to push, trying to accomplish something. Just walk as he leads us. That's what we need to do. Another place he said, who taking thought can add one cubit to a stature? We must do what we can with what we have to do with. What God has ordained us to do, if you'll just stay right in your calling and abide there, God will use you. If you try to step over and do something else, you'll find yourself wrecked up somewhere. It's always that way. That's the human race, though. You just find it doing that. Another place, I don't know if I get to this, but he said, every seed has a season for it to come to life. You cannot try to bring that seed in a season that it's not meant for. It will kill it. But the seed that needs to be living today in your own life and everything, that seed, when it's the right season for it, God will bring that seed to life, but it's got to be in that season. You can look at your life and look at some of us. We were religious, maybe not. We lived in around the message, maybe not. But and sometimes we went out in the world, we did all the things. But at a certain time, God spoke to that seed, and it motivated that seed. It said the time to germatize that seed, and that was when you gave your heart to the Lord. That was when you became born again. That was when you were healed. That was when you were delivered. When that seed, it was a season for that seed. And if you try to get ahead of that, you're just going to mess it up. No one's going to be born again until it's the season for them to be born again. I don't care who it is. You can preach to them all day long. How many of us, you know, we're here 30, 40, 50 years old before we get born again because it was the season for that. But you cannot go ahead of that. He said, well, what about my kids? Your kids will come to life in the season that they are supposed to come to life. That's what it is for everything. You cannot put it out of season. God knows the time for that person to be born again. He knows the time for you to experience your healing. He knows the time for you to overcome that addiction. There is a season for it, and all he wants us to do is just keep walking like Enoch walked, please him every day, and walk right into that season and see it happen. You can't make it happen when it's not time for it. You wreck up somewhere. You say, well, it's so close to the end. It is close to the end, brother and sister, and that means we need to do this more than ever. Allow God to do the work in our lives. Brother Bram says, he says, now just don't interpret nothing. If God wants you to know anything, he'll send it to you. See? So just be real, real solid now. This is what we saw so many times. When the prophet left the scene and he was gone, how many ministers jumped up and decided, well, this is what he meant, and this is what he meant, and this is what we need to do now, and let's go ahead and start this over here, and they interpret the word to mean that, interpret the word to mean something else, and look what the mess it caused. Look at the thousands of lives it destroyed, chasing after all these false doctrines and all these false interpretations. They're not real solid. He said, hold still, something has happened. Now just be real. You understand what I mean? Don't try to make yourself odd to be a Christian because you take yourself away from God. Don't go and change things. Well, it's different now. We're under a new whatever. Brother and sister, God changes things. He changes dispensation. He changes according to the season, but he is the one who makes it happen. It's not us trying to manufacture something. Don't make yourself odd. Don't go, well, you got to quit church. Well, you got to listen to tapes. Well, you got to do this. You got to. No, you don't. No, you don't. You just keep going until God calls and changes in himself. David, he tried to do God a service. You know the message. Trying to do God a service without his will. He was trying to please God, but he had the wrong revelation. Brother Bram says this. We see here what David done in the scripture, reading of 1 Chronicles 13. Not going to read it, just save time. His intentions were good. David's intentions were good. Get the ark back to where the people can worship, they can seek God. But God does not give us merits on good intentions. He don't care about your good intentions. He cares about faith. Have you heard me? Have you believed what I told you? Are you walking in that? That is how you please God. Well, I'm so sincere, God. God is not impressed with your sincerity. Must you be sincere? Yes, you must. But how do you get sincere? By believing what God tells you. Because if God tells you something and you believe it, it's going to bring a desperation. It's going to bring a sincerity to your life. It's not something you work up in your own emotions. God doesn't care about your sincere emotions. He cares about sincerity that's inspired by the faith that he gives you. Hey, you need this in your life, and you say, I gotta have this in my life. It brings a sincerity, it brings a desperation because you heard from God. There is only one way to serve God, and that's by doing his will at his command. Period. Everything else is trying to do God a service without his will. Everything else is a maybe. Everything else is just, it's a Cain worship. Well, if I do this, God will accept it. If I do this, God will accept it. Not if he didn't tell you to do it, he won't. Well, what am I supposed to do? What did God tell you? Another thing, David here, we see that in his heart, he wanted to do something that was good. He had no bad motive, no bad objective. The ark of the Lord was away from the people. He wanted to bring the ark back to its place so the people could consult God about the things that they wanted. His motive was good. His objective was good. How many times, and Brother Branham said it, if you want to do something, it's on your heart to do it, check your motive and objective. Absolutely. The first thing you do. But you don't stop there. You find out if it's God's will. Because David didn't do that. You know what David didn't do? He did not do what Jesus said to do. Believe on him who he has sent. Because there was a prophet in the land who God had sent. You want to find out to do my will? What does the prophet say about it? What does the word say about it? David didn't consult the prophet. So he did not do the work of God. He couldn't. One great thing about God, he has not left us now without knowing what's the truth and how to do it. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't just put us out and say, well, hope you get it right. Go ahead and try to be a Christian. There's 1,000 churches to go to. Hope you pick the right one. Oh, my goodness, holiness, some people think it's okay to do all kinds of things and they're Christian. They can be whatever. You can still be a Christian. He said, hope you figure it out what's the right way to do it. He don't do that, friends, not for those of you who have a sincere heart and you really want to believe because there's something inside. And I said sincere heart. There's something in your heart. And if there's something in there that wants to serve God, God will show you the way to do it. He wouldn't be just to punish us for doing something that we didn't know how it was going to be done. He's not going to just put us out there on judgment day. Ha! You got it wrong. You guessed wrong. No, he doesn't do it that way, friends. He gives us, he tells us exactly what. He proves his word to us according to his way. And the reason people don't want it because they don't like his way because it's humble. He's not just to punish us for doing something that we don't know how that it's going to be done and then let us stumble into something. He's not that kind of a God. He's a God that speaks a word, he reveals it, and expects his children to believe it. There's no guesswork, friends. It is the word is A and amen. You can believe it. You can rest your soul on it because he has revealed it to you. You know it's the truth. This is what God wants you to do. A lot of times when it comes like that, it hurts our feelings. A lot of times it's rough on us. A lot of times it just crumbles us down. But because there's something inside that says, it doesn't matter, I'm going to accept it, I'm going to believe it anyways, because life is more important than this old flesh. And the way we get in trouble so many times is we're protecting this old flesh, we're protecting our thoughts, we're protecting our emotions, we're living by that, instead of letting that all die, which is what the walk with Enoch, what he had to do was when something come up, he just let that go. That's just my feeling, I'm not going to protect that, I'm going to believe the word of God, and that's why we go to church, that's why we pray, that's why we have the whole Holy Spirit in us, and so that when that battle comes up and Satan tries to give you something in your heart, in your mind, I should say, yeah, but this person said that, or this person did you wrong, or this is that, or whatever he is, and that thing comes, I said, I am not going to be controlled by emotions, I'm not going to be controlled by my feelings, I'm going to be controlled by the Word of God, and the Word of God says, forgive that person, love that person, and keep walking with me. Don't you let anything come between you and the Holy Spirit. And all those feelings, that's what it does, because it blocks off the Holy Spirit from manifesting itself from our heart, out through our mind, through our body, and we get this all clogged up here because of our feelings and our emotions, what we want. And it stops the Holy Spirit from manifesting itself. Perfect love, friends, is what goes in the rapture. Nothing else. He is a God that speaks the word and expects his children to believe it. Therefore, he knows what's best and when to do it and how to do it. He knows the season for it. We have our ideas, but he knows. And then if he sets up a system that what he was going to do and didn't tell us what was going to happen, how it's going to happen, then we stumbling at it would be justified in our stumbling or trying to do something, each one would be justified. But there's only one way, and that is his word. If he did not give us his word, we'd be just in any kind of religion we came up with. But it's not that way. He has told us what we want, what he wants us to do. And in each age, he tells us what he wants us to do. Talking about David. They done every religious thing they could. They put out advertisements, everything. Great revival. The ark's going to be brought back. We're going to have a revival. We're going to do this. He sent singers, sent people with harps and trumpets. They done every religious thing they knew how to do, and still God was not in it. Somewhat see repeating again, don't we? Brother, sister, we see that same thing repeating again. You can go to message churches and message meetings, and there's a lot of meetings go around, and I like meetings, but so many people that go with the attitude like, hey, let's go have a big time. Let's just go have a great revival. We're going to shout and jump and sing. We're going to listen to great preaching, and let's make sure we get the preachers that'll be there that'll bring the biggest crowd, and we're just going to have this great party. That's not what the word is for this day, friends. That's not what we're called to do. This is not the age for great revivals. This is the age of judgment. And judgment starts at the house of God. And you can go and have a great time at a meeting and never have a lick of judgment, because all you do is you just wait for the preaching is over so we can start worshiping. They took all the singers. They took the harp players and trumpet boys, the women, men, whatever it was that they sang. They took them all down. They went through every religious motion. I don't want to say this, but I got to say it. So is these denominations today, Pentecostal and all, is going through every religious motion of singing and shouting. David shouted with all his might. He screamed. He jumped. He went through every religious motion there could be, and still God was not in it. His motive and his objective and everything was right, but he went wrong way with it. Brother and sister, just because we come with the right motive and objective still doesn't mean that we're right. We have to walk in faith. The only way you please God is by faith, and faith is God told you specifically what he asked you to do. I hear it so many times. Brother Bram said this thing. I've heard it so many times. Well, it's very sincere. That brother is very sincere. I was talking to different ones, and I said, that brother's off the word. Yeah, but he's so sincere. All right, so he's going to sincerely go burn in hell then, brother and sister. That has nothing to do with it. That's horrible. I'm not saying that as a joke at all. I feel horrible for these people. They're so sincere, and they're trying to do what's right. But brother and sister, you can be sincerely wrong. My dad was the most sincere person I've ever seen. Especially after my mom died, I have never seen anyone so sincere trying to seek God, and he was sincerely wrong. Now let's see what happened. Although their religious emotion and stuff was great, their intention was great, their crusade was great, their singing was great, their dancing was great, their shouting was great, their music was great, there's nothing wrong with it. And they had the ark, which was representing the word. They had the word, but they had gone about it the wrong way. They had not believed on him who he had sent. It's just that simple. You mean that one little thing? That one little thing. Because David consulted everyone else except the word for that day, the ministry God sent. He even consulted the priests. They weren't according to the word either. They hadn't heard the voice of the prophet for their day. He said they had the ark. Now listen to this. That's the type of the word. What good's the ark without God? What good is the word without the revelation of it? It's a dead letter. It'll send you to hell because you'll put your own interpretation to it. That's why we have thousands of churches and thousands of denominations and thousands of beliefs around the message, because they have put their own interpretation to this. It's just a wooden box, a couple of tables of stone. It's just a bunch of paper, a leather binding. That's all it is. And it will condemn you one day if you don't have the revelation of the word in its season. You can't take the revelation of the word in the season of 1965. You can't have the revelation of the word in the season of 1980. 2024, now. You got to have it now. You have the mechanics without the dynamics, and that's what so many people around the message are doing. They have the mechanics all there, and now they're trying to use their own manufactured dynamics to push the car. Let's push the car. Let's worship a little more. Let's pray a little more. Let's get it a little more holy. Let's follow these rules. Let's make up the other rules, and they're trying to push the car down the road. It's just going to go off in the ditch. No matter how sincere, what good motives, what good objectives, how people want those things, and see the need of it. There is a need of it. David saw the need to get the ark back to the people. He said, there is a will of God to be carried out in these things. That's what I want to drive down tonight for. I want to make this so that you have to see it if the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's the reason I'm lingering so long. No matter how much it's needed, how much everybody agrees it's needed, how much that is the truth, there's yet one thing to find out. Is that the will of God? That's the will of God. We had to find out what pleases God, because the only way that God could testify Enoch pleased him was because he was walking in the will of God. Enoch was not just walking in his own idea. Well, let me please God this way. Let me do this. Let me have this religion. There's no way. We don't see what it was. But do you notice it didn't say Enoch didn't shout? He didn't perform miracles. He didn't preach that we know of. I mean, he could have done all these things, but none of those things is what it was. None of those things was what pleasing God. None of those things caused him to walk out of here in his own personal rapture. Never said he raised the dead. He didn't part the Red Sea. He didn't shout and scream and preach and do all these things. He just walked with God. It makes it that simple. You say, well, I don't really have any gifts, Brother Phil. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I just try to live a good life, try to do what God wants me to do. That's what he wants you to do. That's how you please him. What great things are you looking for? I don't feel very spiritual. I just don't know. Well, what are you looking for? What great thing are you looking for? Judgment is here. It struck this world. Look at the crazy out there. Look how hell has belched itself out on this earth. And we're looking for some kind of great spiritual sign. Well, I want to see the third pull in effect. I want to speak something into existence. I want to see these great miracles. You can do all that, friends, and miss the rapture. What great thing are you looking for? You know who else is looking for great things? A fellow named Satan. He's looking around. Where is this great thing? Where are these great things? Where is it? Oh, there's a church. They have great signs and wonders and miracles and people being healed. And look at them worship and listen to the great preaching they have and all that. It's got to be there. He looks over a little group like this and says, I don't see much going on here. Do you know what's going to change his mind? He's going to look at some of those people and say, but they don't have the character. Because Satan's not impressed with signs and wonders and miracles. His own ministers perform that. What scares him is character. Character is strength, because he cannot get to you when you have the right character. And the only way you get the right character is because you do that daily walk, day by day, dying to yourself, loving God, walking the way he wants you to walk. That's how you develop that character. Not because we shout and preach and sing and anything like that and go to church. That don't produce it. Now I want to get to one last part here. About 10 more minutes, maybe we'll be done. This is what God's looking for. This is how you can recognize if you recognize this day and its message. This is the major. All those other things are minor. Everything else that we do, our religious actions should point to this. This is out of the Church Aid book. Laodicean Church Aid. I'm going to really cut some of these out because it's a long quote. Just to save time, I'm going to cut some out. So if you go back and read this, which I recommend you do, you're going to notice that I left out some scriptures and all, but you'll get it as I'm going. It says, the beginning of the creation of God. He's quoting out of Revelation. He said, that is who the Lord Jesus says he is. He is the beginning of the creation of God. And then he goes on to say, now that doesn't mean it sounds like God creating God. That's not what it is. He said, the words should be, he is the beginner or author of the creation of God. So there is no doubt that he is the creator. Jesus Christ was the creator of a finished physical creation. Back there at the beginning when he said, let there be, it was a finished physical creation, and he was the creator of that, and that was what he's going to call the old creation. But now there's a new creation, and he is the beginning of this new creation. He said, now he is standing in the midst of the church. As he stands there revealing who he is in the last age, it's in this last age, only in this last age, this works. He calls himself the author of the creation of God. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride as the Spirit of God. He came down and created in the Virgin Mary the cells from which his body was formed. We know that there is an old creation body called Mary. And he came, he created a new creation, new cell. It was God, man. And he put it in there, and he used that old creation to bring forth that child, that baby. And then he was separated from her, and he was there, that complete new creation, which was a God-man. It was God and man one. God and man had one. It was a new race of people, and he was the head. He was the firstborn from in that new creation, that new body, that new race. Literally a new creation. It wasn't Mary's egg. It wasn't Joseph's sperm. It wasn't anything. It was a literal new creation. Just like when he said, let there be, there is a new, and everything came and was out of the spoken word. The spoken word put that into Mary, and it came out, and he was a new creation. Oh, get that, please. Recognize that's what it had to be. It was a new race of people. When God had united in flesh, it was not enough for the Holy Spirit to simply give life to a human ovum supplied by Mary. That would have been sinful mankind producing a body. That would not have produced the last Adam, of whom it was said, lo, a body hast thou the Father prepared for me. God, not Mary, provided that body. Mary was a human incubator. She carried the Holy Child, brought him to birth. He was a God-man. He was a Son of God. He was the new creation. Man and God met and joined. He was the first of this new race. He is the head of this new race. Oh, do you see what he's saying? It's a new race. It's not a one person. He was the firstborn of a new race of people. It's not just, well, here he is, there's Jesus, and we believe him. That was a God-man, and so we just see that. Brother and sister, that was the beginning. That was the Alpha. But he said, I am the Alpha, and I am the Omega. That means that new race has to be here at the end. This is what we must be, friend. We must be the finalization of this whole new race. He was of the new creation. Man and God met and joined, the first of this new race, the head of this new race. Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. There you can see that though man was of the old order or creation, we are of the old order, the old creation, this body. Now in union with Christ, he has become the new creation of God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in union with Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Brother and sister, let's recognize something. We are not just the old person refurbished. We're not just taking, God did not just take us and say, well, I'm going to fix this person up and make him a believer. No, brother and sister, you are a new creation the same way Jesus Christ was a new creation. And God used that body, that old creation of Mary, to put that seed in there and bring forth life and separate it. But when you and I, brother and sister, he uses this old body, but there's a seed in there the same way it was put in there before you were born. And when that seed comes to life, because it's been birthed by the word, the pure word. It did not birth like the church ages, where even though they were born again, those people down through the church ages, they were still birthed by hybrid seed, because they did not have the pure word. And so he could not marry them. But in this age, because we are birthed by the pure word, there's no hybrid, he can marry them. And our birth is actually our wedding, and we have become one with Christ, just like God and man were met in Jesus Christ. You are the new creation. That's inside of you is new creation. The difference is, he leaves it in this old body. He had to take it out of that body of Mary to be that sinless lamb, to die for us, brothers and sisters, so the blood could be shed to take away our sins. But brother and sister, we have that new creation in this old body. It's in this old body. It's new creation. It's not just, well, I'm just going to take and make you a new person, whatever. No, it's not. It's a complete new creation. Jesus Christ was a new race. You and I are a new race. That's why everything else that we do, all religion, all our stuff that we do to serve God, everything is good, but it all points to that, because you can do all that other stuff without having that new creation. You can live a great life. You can have signs and wonders. You can preach. You can do all these. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if you don't have that new creation, pleasing in you, you're still not going in the rapture because you're not pleasing God the way he needs his bride to please him here in the last day. That's all that's going in the bride in this day, brother and sister, is those who are the new creation. This new creation is not the old creation made over, or it cannot be called new creation. That is exactly what it is, new creation. It is another creation distinct from the old one. No longer is he dealing by ways of the flesh. It's completely new. It's not dealing with ways of the flesh. Ignore this old nasty flesh. But I have a problem with it. You're going to be sticky. You're going to have problems with it. Look at that. Confess what God told you about that problem and keep going. Don't get bogged down. Don't get discouraged. Well, I still struggle with this and I still struggle with that. There's a new creation in you if you have been birthed by the word of this day, and it's going to bring this guy into subjection if you will just confess what God tells you about it. God cannot work except according to your confession, and that confession has to be based on the word that's been revealed to you. And then you can look at that problem you have. You can look at that besetting of sin and say, you are of the old creation. You do not control me. I am going into rapture. I have new creation in me, and there's nothing you can do to stop it, old Phil Bontrager. That's what he's waiting for, is to hear us confess his own word back to him. We say what the Father tells us to say, just like he did, and that way we please him. He say, I make mistakes. Are you saying what God revealed to you? Are you saying what the Father has revealed to you? Then you are pleasing to God. You want to confess Satan's gospel? And then, yeah, you're not. You might live a great life and overcome everything, but if you're confessing Satan's gospel, well, if I can just live good enough, well, if I go in the rapture, well, if this is correctly. I was praying that way here a couple months ago, whenever it was, and I was just having a little time to say, God, you know, if this is correct and if I am born again, he just flat out rebuked me. What are you talking about? What kind of prayer is that? What do you mean, if? Haven't I told you? Haven't I told you? Why are you questioning what I told you? I'm tired of hearing this weak little sissified prayer that you have. Well, God, if I'm right and if this makes any... What an insult to him. He has told me. He told me flat out. He said, you are born again. He told me flat out, you have overcome this. Glory to God. You have overcome that. I still see a problem with it. What did I tell you? What are you confessing? You're healed. You're overcome. You're going into rapture. You're a new creation. Why are you confessing something else? Why are you listening to Satan come and bring that doubt and that fear into your mind? You're a new creation. No longer is he dealing by ways of the flesh, but now out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he has purposed a new creation. He is the first of that creation. If he was the first, there's got to be a last. We are that last. We are that creation. I am Alpha and I am Omega. It's got to be the same God-man, the same God-woman up there, and that first is in here in the very end. Now by his Spirit, I'm sorry. He is the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of man. He was God created in the form of man. Brother Phil, you think you're God? No. I know I am. There's no think. There's no maybe. I am that part of God that he has ordained for me to manifest. I cannot manifest Brother Gene's part. I cannot manifest Brother Jimmy's part. I can manifest what he has given me to manifest. But if I don't, there's a part of the bride missing. There's a part of the body that's not correct yet. And so every one of us has to get into that position so we fulfill our place so that we can go into rapture. That's what he's telling us today. Walk like Enoch. Please me. Walk in faith. Let these things of the world fade away. But you got to work. You got to do it. Yes, you do. But don't let that be between you and God. Don't let that be something that hinders your walk with God. We get tore up about so many things. It hinders our walk. It's just our feelings. He was God created in the form of man. Now by his spirit he is creating many sons unto himself. God the creator creating himself a part of his creation. This is the true revelation of God. This was his purpose. That was my whole thing. When you listen to Brother Branham preach, Christ the mystery of God revealed, that the last of his third, the third fold of his purpose was to take us all the way back to Eden. Before the fall. That's why he said you're justified. You never did it in the first place. Why? Because your soul has been restored back before the fall. You are literally standing in the mind of God. You are standing before the fall, before Adam and Eve fell. Your soul is right back there, perfectly created. God and man become one. That's where you are if you are born again this morning. That's why you're justified. That soul never did it. It never did it. This purpose took form through election. By his own decree, he elected the members of this new creation. He predestinated them to the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of his will. The good pleasure of his will. I just on the way to church this morning, I listened to Brother Bram. He said, we have free moral agency. And the choice you make, you can choose the kind of life you want to live. And whatever choice you make, it shows what's in your heart. Oh. You recognize it's what is in your heart is what's going to come out. That's why so many people say, well, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a message believer. And then in their mind, they make up that decision. But after a while, they just fade away. Why? Because in their heart, it wasn't there. But if that seed is in the heart and it's been predestinated and you've been elected, you don't elect yourself. God elects you. He puts that in there. And then that seed is going to bring your choice to be according to what God wants you to be. And you might fight it for years. You might go against it. You might try to get away from it. But it shows what's in your heart. When finally that seed comes to the place, it's the season for it to come to life. And they say, now you are going to surrender your life to Jesus Christ because I've got to come to life. He will not lose a one. Your choices you make are a reflection of what's in your heart. Your heart is not a reflection of your mind. Your mind is a reflection of what's in your heart. It will come to it. Praise the Lord. This is the only way. This union with Jesus Christ is the only way to please him in this day. You want to be a member of the bride? This is why you have to do it. It's that new creation. Down through the church ages, let me just try to clear this up in case that was confusing. Down through the church ages, they were born again. But they were born, like what Brother Branham, and there's one place he's talking about a woman. He said, she's born, she's as pure as she was when she was born. He said, now I'm typing this to the church. But she was born wrong. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And the church, down through the ages, it was born wrong. It was God doing it. He'd taken one reformation to next. But it was still born wrong because they still had mixed seed in there. And God was still with them. And he was still there. And he was living. And they were born again and for the word for their age. But he could not marry them because they were still a prostitute. They're still mixing the seed. But in this age, they're not mixing them anymore. He can marry her. It's like this, a man and woman. They're married and they're one. But you still have two bodies. That's what it was down through the church age. They weren't married, but that's the type of it. But in this age, you can't see the difference. They're all one. There's no difference. Down through church age, it'd be like taking two pieces of iron and welding them together. But you can see where one starts and the other starts. They're one. They're together like that, but they're still two distinct pieces of iron. But in this age, it's not that way. He takes two pieces of iron and throws them in the furnace, molds them together. Now try to tell the difference. Pull them out. You got one piece. You can't tell where one starts and the other begins. It's like baking a cake. You take eggs and flour and sugar and baking soda and chocolate, and they're all different ingredients. You put them together, you bake it. Now try to find the individual ingredients. You can't. That's why Brother Bram said you can live a life so close to Christ that Satan can't find you. He goes to push your buttons, and all he sees is Christ. All he sees the reaction is Christ. That used to really get under your skin, Phil. Who? Phil's dead. Christ lives in me. That's what we have to have. That's how we please God. We don't react on the old nature. We don't react according to the old creation. We react according to the new creation. And in this situation, God did not take two pieces of iron from the old creation and throw it in there. He took two brand new pieces of iron and put them together. God and man becoming one. That's what we are. You can't separate us. You can't tell us apart. Because it's got to be the exact same Omega bride that was the Alpha bride. The only way this can work, friends, the only way this is, you know you who you are, is when God witnesses that you are this new creation. It's the only way it works. He has to be the witness. Go and read Song of Solomon. He talks about how he loves this, this beautiful woman, this one he's in love with. Recognize that's you. Go read through it and see what God thinks about you. She can do nothing but please him. She's perfect in his eyes. I would take time to read some of it right now, but just to save time, we've got to get out of here. But she was perfect in his eyes. He could find no fault in her. They are perfect. He sees you as no fault. He sees you perfect. Because he's not looking at this flesh. It's covered by blood. The blood bumper is there. And when you make a mistake, what happens? Something inside you causes you to repent. The blood is there. He's not even looking at that. All he can see is blood. But what he can see is the new creation inside. He said, that looks just like me, because it is me. That's who it is. Now I'm going to be a little rough. If we believe that, he's the same today as he was then, let me ask you a question. What if the body of Jesus Christ, I know this isn't going to happen, but we'll just go play a scenario. What if Jesus Christ walked through that door right now? In that body he was crucified in. How would you treat him? What if you knew he was going to show up for church today in that body? How would you come to church? What would your attitude be? How would you have dressed? Jesus Christ is going to be in church with us this morning. Well, like I said, it's going to be a little rough. The way you treat your brothers and sisters is the way you would have treated him back then when they crucified him. Because every time we have church, Jesus Christ walks through that door. If we believe what I preached this morning, every time we have church, that new creation walks through that door. And how you treat your brother and sister is how you would have treated Jesus. You say, that's different because of the body. No, it's not. Because they found fault with his flesh too, remember? They find a lot of fault with his flesh. And so when we have something against our brother and sister, when we treat them a certain way, when we don't want to, you know, fellowship, whatever it is, that's how you're treating Jesus Christ, friends. And then you see how Jesus treated sinners. Do you treat them the same way that he treated them? Question is, do you recognize your day and its message? Or are you just a message believer? You recognize the new creation that's living among us. Do you recognize Jesus Christ in flesh today? Do you really? Because how do you treat him? Is this just a doctrine? Or is it something that's so real to you that it controls you? Controls your emotion. Well, I don't like this and I don't like that. Of course, we all have that. It has nothing to do with that. That's your old creation. That's the old creation. Where is the new creation? Where is it taking control? Do you recognize your day and its message? Why didn't we recognize, I love that song, why didn't we recognize the mighty God is here today? Well, he's here. Do we recognize him? Or are you a respecter of persons? James told us that's a pretty bad thing to do. Well, I'm going to be nice to this person, but not nice to that person. They hurt my feelings. God. Let me just ask one more question. I'm going to try to quit here. How did Jesus treat Judas? He sat beside him. Last Supper. That's how Jesus treated them. He didn't say, "You go sit at the end of the table. I'm not going to sit beside you." He came to the garden. He said, "Friend." You think he was just saying that? Or was he the biggest hypocrite? He didn't really mean it. When he forgave him from the cross, was that from his heart, or was he just doing that because he was supposed to? How do you treat people? Is it like Jesus? Is it like the new creation treats him? Or do you treat him according to your old creation? Stand. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming today and speaking. Thank you for showing us who we are. Thank you for exposing our old nature, the difference between that and a new nature. And it's a new creation. It's the old creation, new creation, and showing us that we are part of that new creation if we are born again. Lord Jesus, we know that we go through this life and we walk and we have these troubles, trials, and all the things we go through, but it's dying to ourselves. And we don't just walk into this just automatically. Our love has to be perfected. And Lord, we recognize that that's what you are doing in our daily walk, is perfecting the love. And it's to get us out of the way so you can manifest that perfect love that is in us. It's already there. It just needs to express itself. But our old nature gets in our way. Our old creation gets in our way, and it keeps us from expressing it because our feelings and our thoughts and our religion and all these things, our culture, whatever it is, gets in the way. And our daily walk is to get rid of those things, to shave those things off. We see that happening, Lord. I can look around, and I look at this church and this group of people, and I look at myself specifically, and I look a year ago, and I look 2 years ago, and I say, God, your word is having the effect it's supposed to have. Oh, that gives me such peace. In the midst of the storm, it gives me such peace to know that you are in control. You are leading. How we thank you for this, Lord Jesus. Move upon us, Lord. Move upon us. Lord, just let us worship you now and praise you. And let the word, let the worship just water this word so it brings forth life, Lord. Father, let us go ahead and take that inventory of ourselves and see, where am I falling short? Where am I not pleasing you? Where am I taking my own thought over your word? Lord Jesus, help us to recognize Jesus Christ is the same today. He's living in his bride today, and he's manifesting himself through the bride. Not only do we need to recognize that he's here, but we need to recognize that if we are the new creation, we need to act the way he acted. We need to do the very works that he did. Oh, Father, it's easy to ask this because it's according to your word. The hard part is dying to ourselves to manifest it, but we know it's coming, Lord. We know it's here. Thank you again for all your goodness. Thank you for your word. Move upon us now, I pray. I ask this in your name.